On that happy note.
I'm not sure where we go from there. The rapture. This phenomenon or this event, supposedly, where Jesus comes to take hold of believers in the air. It is something that is believed in fundamentalist Christian circles, even though not all fundamentalist Christians believe in it, but it is rather prevalent. You may have heard of the Left Behind series, based on the rapture. You may have heard of the book The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. If you go on the internet, you'll see all sorts of websites. One of the more popular that gets 1,000 hits per day, RaptureReady.com, as well as others, RaptureMe.com, LookUp.org, LeftBehind.com, and a host of others, not to mention the site selling rapture-related fashion, RaptureWearShop.com, just in case you're wondering. Okay. Of course, there are sites that critique that doctrine. And of course, do not confuse these websites with a few websites for musical groups that have adopted the name, although not at all for religious reasons, such as the rapturemusic.com, a hip hop group, and rapture.tk, a heavy metal band from Finland. Anyhow, what do we believe? What does the Catholic Church believe? Is this representation, this montage, do Jesus justice? The question again, the second coming, a frightening event or a happy event? Well, it seems to me that the doctrine of rapture, in essence, establishes two second comings, which doesn't make sense. There is one second coming. If there were another, it would be a third. But Jesus speaks of one return in which he brings everything to completion in himself. Now, rapturists will claim that it is simply the second coming in stages, a coming of Christ to snatch all believers, but which does not really count because his feet do not touch the earth, which is what they'll say, and a coming of Christ at the end of the 1,000 years, which we read in that passage from Revelation chapter 20. So let me situate this doctrine by quoting from another website, godonthe.net, written by Rick Rankins, which I think articulates the predominant perspective in fundamentalist Christian circles. And I do this just so that we can approach the question of the second coming by contrast, and just to get a sense of what fellow Christians believe. I think, amongst other things, that the following perspective ignores the fact, quite simply, that Jesus is present. Jesus is in our midst. Jesus comes at every moment and is at work. And the second coming will be the manifestation and completion of his presence. It will not be an appearance after his absence. Do you see the difference? It's the manifestation of Jesus who's present, who's been coming ever since the ascension, ever since he left. I will not leave you orphan, Jesus says. So on this website, we read the following, which is a description of the rapture and a few other key doctrines associated with it. You may have heard of the tribulation, Armageddon, the millennium or the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year kingdom. And of course, the second coming. This Rick Rankin says the following, just to situate this doctrine, and then we will move on to understanding how the church sees this and how we prepare for Jesus. The second coming of Christ will occur in stages. First, he will remove all Christians from the earth, rapture, to protect them. This is called the rapture. The term comes from the Latin verb raptare and the Greek word harpizo, both meaning to be caught or to be snatched. Jesus will snatch us out of harm's way. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, this is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, who are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. After the rapture, God will begin executing judgments against unbelievers during a period called the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, all nations will attack Israel, and Jesus will physically return leading the armies of heaven. At the battle of Armageddon, they will destroy everyone who is not a believer. God is love. Then Satan will be bound, and Jesus will establish the millennial kingdom, headquartered in Jerusalem. Jesus and the saints will rule over the nation of the earth for 1,000 years. During this period, there will be people born who are not loyal to Christ. However, it will usually not be obvious. Therefore, at the end of the 1,000-year period, God will release Satan and let him tempt those who inhabit the earth. A large group will take up arms against the Lord and be defeated. Then Christ will judge all who have ever lived, giving rewards to some and punishment to others. Those who were destroyed will be cast into the lake of fire. After that, God will destroy heaven and earth because they have been polluted by sin. He will create a new heaven and a new earth, put those who were saved on the new earth and rule it forever. In a nutshell, the perspective. Now, if I can deviate just a little bit further, what's interesting is the mention of Jerusalem. Okay, I'm going to go off on a tangent again. If you're not happy, throw something at me. The importance given to the physical city of Jerusalem in this perspective, which obviously includes, with those who believe in this doctrine, unusual support for the state of Israel. You may have seen Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and preachers like that who very manifestly support the state of Israel. Trinity Broadcasting Network, familiar with TBN, the strawberry blonde with the huge eyelash. Those who adhere to the theological perspective of rapture, tribulation, millennium have a very specific, very unusual view of the Jewish people, their place in salvation history, and what God has in store for them. Okay, now, hold on tightly. There's a doctrine called dispensationalism that was developed, which articulates this. Ever heard of it, dispensationalism? Neither did I until I began to prepare. A certain John Nelson Darby is considered to be the father of dispensationalism, okay? A doctrine he developed in the 1800s in Ireland amongst Plymouth Brethren, a particular branch of Christianity, okay? Not a branch of Christianity that really poses the question, is this doctrine consonant with 1800 years of doctrine that preceded us? Okay, and it's based on a text from 2 Timothy chapter 2, rightly divide the word of truth. And in a nutshell, dispensationalism claims that history consists of dispensations or periods of time during which a different purpose of God is revealed and humankind is tested differently, that is, in a particular way.